First and Second Timothy, the books we just covered, as well as this book of Titus, are known as the pastoral epistles or letters. That is because Paul is writing to Timothy and Titus, these young pastors who are overseeing local fellowships. It's toward the end of Paul's journey through life. There are some things he wants to make sure these young proteges of his understand and are all about. Not just them, but their fellowships, of course. So Paul is writing to Timothy and then Titus as pastors. Because he knows that he's reaching the end here, he wants to make sure that these pastors lead their fellowships in certain things. In a sense, this is like Paul's last will and testament. And so Paul is saying, these are the essentials, guys. This is what you're to be about. Yes, I'll be leaving the scene soon, but this is what you're continue to be about. What are those things? Well, one thing we've seen as we've been through 1 and 2 Timothy, and now as we've come to Titus, one thing we've seen is that Paul repeatedly stressed the importance of staying to the Word of God, to stay to sound doctrine. In chapter 2, verse 1 here of Titus, we see Paul say to Titus, "But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine." It's much like Paul had written to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:2. You remember, we looked at it last week. He said what? Preach the word. Yes, there'll come these people in the last days that'll try to get off of that, and they won't handle sound doctrine, and they'll be teaching all this other stuff, fluff and error and everything else. Well, don't you get into that. And so he tells his young pastors, teach the word. Well, as a pastor of a fellowship, of course, these things get my attention. Here we have an apostle writing to pastors. This is what it should be about. So I look at that and I say, okay, Lord, obviously that's important. And I'm not saying it's the only place that does that, but I believe you can include us as those who, and I believe Calvary Chapels are kind of known for that. We just go through the Word of God and we preach the Word and the whole Word and nothing but the Word. And so, praise God by His mercy and grace. I believe that that's what we're about. So I see that. Okay, great. Doing good there. What else? What else had Paul been stressing to them? Well, of course, overall in everything, Paul's known as the Apostle of Grace. And Paul used to fight to the nail. He resisted anybody who tried to add anything to the cross. So we would always say it's the cross, period. It's grace, period. It's by grace you're saved. Not of yourself, not of works. It's by simply what Jesus did on the cross and our receiving of it. And so the emphasis upon grace. And I look at that and I go, okay, yeah. Not that we're the only place, but Calvary Chapels are really known for stressing God's grace and all. Okay, Lord, thank you for that. I feel like we're tracking pretty good there. But now there's something else that Paul speaks to these young pastors. Something that he's going to repeat a number of times here in this letter. Any idea what it is? Don't answer yet, but to wonder, do you have any idea what it might be? Well, it may surprise you. But not only surprise you, it's my hope that it will challenge you. Look at chapter 3 now of Titus. We're going to jump in here, and then we'll be looking around some various scriptures. Titus chapter 3, verse 8, where Paul says, "This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly." So Titus, you keep telling your body of believers there, the church there, these things. "That those who believed in God..." Anybody here believe in God? Some of you aren't sure, I see. Well, that's okay. You're welcome. I hope by the time we're through, you'll believe. Caught you by surprise, didn't I? Anybody here believe in God? More hands going up. Okay, good. Okay, well, this applies to you. Pastor, keep affirming, keep driving it home. What? "That those who believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men." And there it is. Not just the emphasis on the word, not just grace and all, but it's supposed to all result in something. So there's the call, and that's our title for this morning. Be careful to maintain good works. Let's pray. Father, it is good to gather together like this. We thank you for this privilege that we can gather and worship you, that we can hear from you now by the power of the Holy Spirit through your word. But Lord, we recognize we're the weak link in this whole thing. Help us, Lord. I pray you would find us hungry, open, desiring to experience all you'd have, not just in us, but then through us, Lord. This work of yours is meant to result in some things. May it have just that result. Lord, for those that are struggling today, Lord, thank you that in you we find healing and hope, comfort, reassurance, strength, wisdom, on and on, all we have in you, the riches we find in you. Thank you for that. Lord, you know us inside out, and this morning you've chosen to draw us to and focus on this area. So, Lord, there's a reason. There's something you want us to hear and some response you're desiring to find in us. Help us not to miss it now, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. A major theme in this short letter from the Apostle of Grace is good works. Works. Good works. Let's read through the times that Paul mentions it. I encourage you right now, this is when you begin your list. You're going to make your list of what Paul wants us to be about. Chapter 2, verse 7. In all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works. So the first thing we see that he emphasizes here is that we're to have a pattern of good works. Going on to verse 14 of chapter 2. Speaking about Jesus and his work in our lives and all, it says, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, a set apart people. And what will mark them? Zealous for good works. The second mention of good works. First was that we're to have a pattern of them. And now the second point you want to put on your notes there is that we're to be zealous for good works. Chapter 3, verse 1. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, and to be ready for every good work. The third mention now, be ready for every good work. Go down to verse 8, our beginning text for this morning. This is the faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. The fourth time now, be careful, he says, to maintain good works. And the last mention, the fifth time in these three short chapters here, verse 14, and let our people also learn to maintain good works, to meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful. So there's the five mentions. You have them written down? They say you learn more when you write it rather than just hear it. And since God's repeating it, he must want us to know something here. Well, let's take a look at our list, a closer list here. The first thing we learned from chapter 2, verse 7 was what? What was the first thing he says that about good works? Who has it? To be a pattern. Okay, we're going to put it up here on the overhead. First thing he says here is that he wants to encourage us to is that there should be a pattern of good works. Now, when you think of that word pattern, I've kind of highlighted the focus there. What do you think of? Now, don't come up with some big elaborate thing, just straightforward. What does the word pattern mean? Be a pattern. Be a pattern of good works. What does pattern mean? Anybody want to be so bold? Raise your hand. Go for it. What do you think of?
Consistency.
What's that?
Consistency.
Consistency. Exactly. A pattern. So there's supposed to be a pattern of it, meaning it's going to be something that's ongoing. It's not going to be like every 6 months or every couple of years or something like that. But we're going to have a pattern of good works. So it speaks of an ongoing process. Before we move on, what else about a pattern? You got a pattern, you're going to cut out a piece of clothing to match the pattern. What's another word for maybe a pattern? A copy. Excellent. An example. A pattern is an example. And so we are to be examples of good works, and this is going to be an ongoing thing, not just a once in a while thing. Okay, what was the second thing he said about good works? Our next point. Be what? Zealous. Good. The next thing he said, now be zealous for good works. The word zealous here is from a Greek word that means to boil, be hot, or glow. It describes one zealous, fervent, or enthusiastically devoted for or eagerly desirous of something. I think, though, you understand that even somebody's zealous for something. It means you're really passionate about it. You're on fire about it. You're excited about it. We see somebody like a really big football fan, and we say, man, he's on fire. He's zealous for that. He's zealous for that cause he's into, or something like that. We all understand that idea. But notice, Paul applies it to our attitude about good works. We're to be passionate about this. Not lukewarm. Not, well, maybe once in a while if it happens to come along. No, I'm to be zealous for it. Passionate about it. Well, what's the third thing he tells us about good works? I'm sorry, what? You got to help me out here. Be ready. There you go. Be ready for every good work. What do you guys think of when you hear that word, ready? Who'd want to tell me? What do you think? Be prepared for it. It shouldn't catch you off guard. But instead, we're to be looking for it. We're to be ready for every good work. It means like looking for it, eagerly looking for opportunities to be used in that way. The fourth thing we were to do is what? Be careful. Be careful to maintain good works. That's in chapter 3, verse 8. That's our beginning scripture for this morning. Speaking to those who are believers, he says, be careful. Now, what do you think of when you think of be careful? Anybody? Go for it again. What's that?
Cautious.
Be on guard. If the steps are slippery, and someone says, well, now be careful, those steps are slippery. What are they saying? They're saying, pay attention to. If you're careful, you're very attentive to something. You're going to really focus in on it, right? So that's the idea. Be very attentive to this. Make it a priority. Be careful to maintain good works. And the last one was what? Verse 14 of chapter 3. Learn to maintain good works. Interesting. Learn to maintain good works. Now, what does the word learn suggest to us? You guys are being good students. Hang in there. What's that?
Study.
It's going to be something that you have to learn. It's to acquire knowledge. It's to grow in it. So it's something that, well, if you have to learn it, it must not come naturally. Well, I'm just not that way. I'm just not into that. Most of us are selfish by nature. We're going to learn to get outside of ourselves. We've got to learn to maintain these things. So that's the idea. It doesn't come naturally. It's going to be a growing process. So let's look at that list again now. Be a pattern. Believer, be a pattern, an example of good works. Be zealous. Be on fire for them. Be ready for them. Be ready to be used by God in whatever situation. Be careful. Really be attentive to maintain this. And learn to maintain good works. Be a pattern of it. Be zealous. Be ready. Be careful. Learn. Paul, can't we go back to the grace stuff? Let's talk some more about grace. I just want to hear about grace and how much you love me, Lord. Well, that's awesome and great, but Paul doesn't stop there. God doesn't, and we have to be careful we don't either. Well, can't we just talk about the importance of the Word? Yeah, we do that also, but God doesn't stop there, does He? It's for our sake. Now, if you look at that list, pattern, zealous, ready, careful, learn, all about good works, I'm thinking there's a pattern here. I'm thinking there's something He wants us to get. If God repeats something 5 times, really in 2 chapters, what do you think? Do you think He's trying to like tell us something? Do you think He's kind of looking for a response? I suggest that He is, of course. When something is repeated in God's Word that much, and it's placed with the command for pastors to speak it, it says, remind it, affirm it constantly, then you better believe we're going to take a look at it. And that's what we're doing right now. Now, let's be very clear. Is this teaching that we are saved by our works? No. But I want to be very clear, because some of us, this might be visitors this morning, or perhaps you're considering the claims of Christ or something, and I want you to leave here today thinking like, oh, that's how I get to heaven. I be good, or I earn it or something. No, it doesn't work that way. Are we saved by works? The answer is a resounding no. Paul says it very clearly, really, in Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to turn there for a moment. I invite you to do so if you'd like to. Certainly, I encourage you at least to listen, though. In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul puts it this way. He had just said that we were all in trespasses and sins, dead in our trespasses and sins, lost, and nothing we could do in and of ourselves to save ourselves. But in Ephesians 2:4, he says, "But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive, spiritually alive. He made us alive together with Christ." Here it is. "By grace you've been saved." So for each one who received Christ as Savior, we're saved, but it was by grace. Verse 6, "And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Our position now in Him. "That in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus." Here it is again now, verse 8. "For by grace you've been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast." You can't say it much more clearly than that. We are saved. Salvation comes. It's by grace and grace alone. By faith, by believing, by heart believing, receiving what Christ has done for you. It's a work of grace, not of works. You can't earn it. It has nothing to do with that. It's receiving His finished work on the cross. I want to be very clear about that. The minute you receive of that, you're saved. It's the grace of God. It's the cross, period. It's not the cross plus anything else. Not plus baptism or good works or tithing or... This is it. It is finished. It's complete. Believe. And as you do, you are saved. So there it is, clearly. However, there is a verse 10. Does your Bible have a verse 10 in chapter 2 of Ephesians? How many have a verse 10 there? Does it just end at verse 9? Oh, okay. Some of you have that other version, huh? I'm catching you guys today. How many Bible have a verse 10? There, getting better. And it says, what? "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good," not by good works, saved by grace. But there's supposed to be a result, not just a work in me, but through me. "Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Go back to your Titus passage if you happen to have turned to Ephesians with me. What God has done for us and in us is not to end at us. And if we hear that as a heavy thing, we're missing out on what God wants us to experience as we become His arms in that situation or whatever it might be. As we watch God work not only in us but through us. As we see people saved and blessed and encouraged or comforted or ministered to or whatever He might want to do. As a need is met, as it's through us, and why He chooses to use us, but He does. I think it is because, partly because of that very process. He wants us to know the joy of being a vessel He can use. To not let it stop at us, but to watch His waters, living water, flow into and then through us to others and all. To meet needs and all. But remind, of course, make sure you understand, it doesn't start with me. It doesn't start with you. It starts with Him. It's His work in us, but then it's meant also to be through us. Paul, Philippians 2:13. "For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for His good pleasure." So it's God giving me the desire to meet that need. It's God's work in me. His love has touched me. Now I want to pass that love on to others. And so He works in me, both to will, He gives me the desire to do it, and then the to do. Notice that. There's a to do supposed to be part of this. But it's His work. He authors it. He strengthens. He encourages. He shows. He guides. But He's looking for us to be vessels that He could do that work through. Don't turn there, but just a reminder. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 12, it teaches us that we will not be judged by our works, but our works will be judged. It has nothing to do with our salvation. We're saved by grace. We've seen that clearly. If you haven't received that, you need to do it to see heaven. And we won't be judged by our works, it tells us there. But our works will be judged. That God will test them to see of what nature they were. Were they done at God's leading, His empowerment, in response to Him? Were you a vessel that He could use and work through? So that what we do are to be done as a result of His inworking, His empowerment. See, all that's clear. And I want to make sure we're clear on that. But you know what? That's not my concern. My concern is, will there be any to be judged? Will you have any works to go through the refining fire? Are we doing it? They are to be done. Works don't save us, but they show that we are. As God works in us, there'll be fruit from our lives. Jesus Himself said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Charles Spurgeon, I believe it was, said, "A religion that doesn't result in works," he said, "I don't think very much of a religion that doesn't result in works." He said, "A light doesn't talk, it shines. It does." See, it. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good intentions." Is that what it says? We're kind of hoping that it will. We hope it says that, huh? "Well, Lord, you know my intentions were, I was going to help. I meant to call. I meant to meet that. You know my... Be careful and fall back and saying, "Lord, you know my heart." You don't want to go there. No, that people may see your good works and glorify. Now, as people see that it's God working in you and through you, He's empowering it, He's leading, He's the whole thing, He's providing for it, they'll glorify your Father in heaven. But it's supposed to mark our lives. Twice in this letter to Titus, in chapter 2, from verse 11 on, and then in chapter 3, the beginning part of it, Paul, two times here, lays out the foundation of how we're saved. In fact, let's read it real quick. Look at chapter 3, verse 4. "But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life." Again, how much more clearly could it be said? It's by grace, not by works and all. And He just said that type of thing at the end of chapter 2. But in both cases, they end with the admonition that it's not supposed to stop there. For look at what I just read. Look at the verse 8 again. "This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works." So again, He talks about grace. It's all about grace. But both times He goes, "But it's supposed to result in something going on from your life. A reaching out, an availability, an acting upon, an actually doing these good works that people can see it and glorify God." And He's saying, "Pastor, you better not let them..." Well, basically He says, "Don't let it end with you, and Pastor, don't let them let it end at them. Keep telling them it's not to end at them." So that's what we're looking at. God touched Pastor Chuck Smith and through him raised up the Calvary Chapel movement. It's a ministry known about God's touch of grace and the Word of God and all. Well, Pastor Chuck, by the way, that Pastor Chuck is the same Pastor Chuck who stood right here at this pulpit about 10 or so years ago and dedicated this pulpit and this sanctuary and this building to God. That has been done and is going on. And so, that Pastor Chuck, he said this, quote, "God's purpose for your life is that you be fruitful. Jesus said that the Father is glorified when you bear much fruit," John 15:8. He says, Chuck says, "It's a good idea for us to look at our lives once in a while to see if we are really bearing fruit for the kingdom of God." He says, "It is important that we fulfill our purpose by maintaining good works so that we may not be unfruitful." End quote. So it's good to stop and say, "God, is this stuff working through me as well as in me? Or does it just kind of stop at me? Do I bear fruit? Remember at chapter 3, verse 14, where we were to learn to maintain good works? How did it end? That they may not be unfruitful. I don't want any of us to be unfruitful. Now, we've laid out some important principles here about good works. But it's led us really to what I believe is to be our focus here. We've pointed out that what? We're to be a pattern of good works. He said that we are to be zealous for them. He's pointed out that we are to be ready for them, that we should be careful to maintain them. We should learn to maintain good works. So, no doubt, God, through Paul, mentions good works a lot in our passage. So, one more question for you. Not just one more at this point. What is a good work? Yeah, it's authored by God and empowered by God and all, but when it comes right down to it, what is a good work? I'm supposed to be doing all these things that result in, he's talking about good works, my life being available for all that and all. When I say to you, good work, what do you think of? Who wants to raise your hand and tell me? Again, I don't think I've yelled at too many people yet for their answers, so it's safe. Anything, Fred, what do you think? The Great Commission is an example of good work. Go and tell. Get the good news out there. So that would be an example of a work. Great. What do you think of when you... Rosa? I'm sorry, what?
Obedience.
Great. So a good work is when God says, now here's a need, go. Or here's how much you do. He's looking to us to be the one to do that. We need to step forward and obey that. What else they may think of when they hear good work? What's maybe an example of it or a short little definition of a good work? Go for it. To share the gospel. Great Commission. Get the word out there. Tammy?
Operating as
what?
In the capacities
God has given you. All excellent. All examples. A good work. See, when you tell your children, you were really good today, what do we mean? You didn't do anything bad. Right? Right? You were really good today. I mean, they didn't break anything. They weren't a big pain. They obeyed you. You know, they weren't. See, and that's kind of what we start thinking. Well, I was good today because I wasn't bad. I didn't really do anything too bad today, you know. Spent some prayer time there. I kept my thought life tracking pretty good. You know, didn't do anything really bad today. So, you know, and so we think we're good. Well, it's more than that. That's kind of on the negative side. The positive side is actually doing something. Well, what is it? Well, we have some great input right now, but I want you to look at what Paul says about that. Go to our last mention of good works, verse 14 of chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 14 now. And let our people also learn to maintain good works to meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful. A very good working definition right there. It's meeting needs. Meeting urgent needs, being used to meet a need that God sets before you in some fashion, some form, some way, some person. To be the one who God uses to meet that need in whatever capacity He might call you to. To meet an urgent need. So from our text we see we're to actively seek to be used to meet needs. How often are we to do that, by the way? Once in a while. It's to be a lifestyle, always ready to go, all the time, to be aware of and meet urgent needs. Is it meeting urgent needs? Is it a good work that when you see a need, to say, boy, I hope somebody helps that person? Is that a good work on our part? No. Is this a good deed, a good work on your part? Ooh, I see you have a need. Why don't you call the church? Is that a good work on your part? It could be. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't throw something at me yet, but hear me out. Very often I find that's the case for people. They'll see a need and the response is, oh, I'll send them over to the church. Now, yes. We have the privilege here of ministering to many people in many ways. Somebody comes by with a need, and we might be able to pray for them or give a word of counsel to them. We have a food closet. We can maybe help them out in that way. If somebody's in the hospital, it's our privilege often to be able to go visit them and pray, or a home visitation or something, or in many ways like that. So yes, that's great. And you might even say, well, that's why I give my tithes and offerings. So they'll do it. Because I'm busy, and I got a lot going on, so I'll give the money. I pay the pastor's salary. It's his job. My good work is to give you the money. Your good work is to go meet the need. You're missing out if you think that way. Is that what it is? When God says, hey, here's somebody the need, are you supposed to say, I gave it the church? You know, obviously, I gave it the office. Well, somebody, well, I gave it church. It's their job. Well, yes, we have our part, but so do you. And it's enough just to say, well, I hope somebody else does that. I hope somebody takes care of that or whatever it might be. Be open to being the answer to your prayer that someone help. Be open to God. Now, of course, we check out the legitimacy of the need. I'm not going to spend a whole message time on making sure that it's an actual need and not ripping you off and et cetera, et cetera. We understand that. Be wise. But having done those checks, there comes that time when it's us. We're the one God wants to use to help, and whatever it might be. John, 1 John 3, lengthy but important. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. When we see a need, it's not enough to say, well, I hope somebody helps or hope somebody comes. Lord, what my part in this? And yes, some of it might be financially. Sometimes, again, it's a word of comfort, a visit, a call. It can be an article of clothing. It can be anything. But it's not just enough to say it, I hope, or something like that. No, we're to love in deed and in truth. And notice in particular, we also have to lay down our lives for the brethren, and later on, and anyone who sees his brother in need. In Scripture, those are terms for fellow believers. It's not excluding those times we might minister to just someone in general in the community, but in particular, we're to be sensitive to and be open to helping one another in the body. Galatians 6:10, let me read this to you real quick. Galatians 6:10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. So we're not excluding it for all. Let's do good to all, but especially be sensitive to, aware to the needs within the body of Christ, your brothers and sisters. We're supposed to particularly be there for them. That's body ministry. That's what we're called to do. Not to say, I hope somebody else, but Lord, me. Use me in whatever the situation might be calling for. Bible commentator Warren Wiersbe says, the best way a local church has to witness to the lost is through the sacrificial service of its members. He says, grace and good works, they go together. End quote. It's just the way it is. He's saying, grace and good works go together. When God works in, there will also be a work through. Don't let it stop at you. You miss out, the other people miss out. God is not glorified in that. The whole thing comes to a halt. His love in us should cause us to love others in deed, in truth, particularly those within the body of Christ. But we got to be careful to maintain them, don't we? We've got to be attentive, zealous, desirous to be used. Lord, I want to be used in that way. You know what I have and don't have. You know my income. You know my resources. But God, I want to be used in some way. And He will. Because He gives that we might give. He works in that He might work through. It's not about abilities. It's about availability. And Paul's point here is that we personalize it. You are to be zealous for, an example of, be careful to maintain good works. In our chapter 2, verse 14, it said God saved us to make us a special people. King James says a peculiar people. Too many would say, yeah, that's me. It simply means, it's an old-fashioned way of saying a set-apart people. Towards what end? It says that he purified him for himself, his own special people, zealous for good works. Will this study this morning cause you to be more alert, more zealous to be used by God? Well-known passage, we quote it all the time. Just a reminder, lengthy again, but important. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Be a doer. We say it all the time, oh yes, sounds good. And we like to say, oh yes, be it. But what will God find us doing with what we are hearing? If what we talk about in here is if we study only results in you guys leaving and saying, good message, Pastor. And so I feel good, you feel good, we all feel good, nobody changes, what's the point? Well, I don't need to play church. And I suspect you aren't either. I don't think you are. So we have to ask ourselves, well, hear something like this, then God, you're saying it for some reason here. There's something you want to have happening. As a pastor, I am called. Verse 8 it says, affirm constantly these things. Up in chapter 2, verse 15, speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. That's my part. What will your response be? I'm going to invite Tim and the worship team to come up while I set before all of us a challenge. I want you to think about something for a moment. Some of you are doing great in this area. Please hear me. I see the fruit of so many around here being available for God to use you. Good works are going on. Some in what you might call the organized ways through children's ministry and VBS and everything else, the various helps ministries and all. Some in just the way I often hear how some one of you have visited someone else or helped someone else in some way, helped repair something at someone's home or all the various things that I hear about. And that's what I hear about. I don't hear about a part. God sees all though. And I know that some of you are doing great in that area. If so, keep it up. But don't coast on it either. Just be careful. Well, I did that before. I've done that last year. Every day, we need to be attentive like this. Because for some, this should convict us. And so in love, I set that before you. Are you convicted by this morning? Well, that's okay when it's God doing it, because he's not down on us. He's just got better for us. Saying, come on, I want you to respond to this. I've got something I want to do here. So I want to set before you a challenge this morning. Do you need to start committing yourself to this learning to maintain good works process? Do you need fire in this area? Up till now, there's been maybe a smoldering ember. And God said, I want a zealousness to be used. I want you hungry, looking around every day, being attentive to needs and being the one that says, oh, use me, Lord, use me. I'm going to invite you in just a moment. If you're doing great in this area, it's just time for reflection. Awesome. Just go remain there. But if you are convicted right now that this is spoken to you, that you know what, God, I need to step it up in this area. Maybe there's a specific area you've been avoiding, and now he's showing you it's time to be available there. Do you need to stand up and just kind of commit to his grace running its full course through your life? Or maybe it just hasn't been? I invite you during this song, if you would like prayer, and I'm just going to pray a general prayer. God will know specific, but I'm going to pray a general prayer for anybody that comes down. But if you want a fire where there's been an ember, if you've been all about your needs instead of the urgent needs of your brothers and sisters, and you're convicted of that and would like some prayer towards that, whatever it might be, during the song, come down front, in the song, I'd like to pray for you. Again, many others, you're doing great. Keep it up. Stay right there. Just think about what God's doing in and through your life and thank him for it and just reaffirm your commitment. But if you particularly know that I need to step it up. If God is convicted of this, come down front. Let me say a word of prayer for you. Application time. This is appropriation time. This is a time to act upon what you've heard. Again, if you're sitting there and you're saying, hey, feel like I'm doing pretty good in this area, then great. But I just want to give each one an opportunity. If you're convicted and you say, I want to ramp it up, I need to step it up, I want to make a commitment to do that, then that's what I'm inviting. Is there anybody else that want to come on up? This is the time. This isn't accepted the Lord time. This is the time for believers. It says, for those who believed in God, be careful. You're coming to say that I want to be more careful to maintain good works. I want to be more zealous about this. And this is the time where you're making that commitment to do it. For those of you who come down front, God knows the specifics of what have brought you down here. I don't. So I'm just going to pray a sort of general prayer now. But let it be from your heart, whatever it represents. Now, in terms of what that good work might be, well, again, I don't know. That's for God to tell you. But I just said that as a singular. But yet it won't be, will it? It's an ongoing. It's a lifestyle. It's going to be a habit. It's something you're going to be available for all the time. And if you're available, He will show you on and on and on because there's needs all around us every day. And so not only for you that have come down front, but each of you here, if I were to stand here next Sunday and say, okay, did God use you in some way this week? Every single believer should be able to say yes because there's needs all around us. Well, I mean, I don't know, there might be an occasion where, I didn't say maybe you're laid up in the hospital or something, but hey, maybe that nurse needs ministering to or something, I don't know. But whatever it is, God has it for you to show you consistently, day by day. That's His part, to show you. You're here to say, I'm available to be shown. But then you're here to say, and I'm going to act upon it. How? By His power. That's also God's turf. He gives you the to-do, the will and the to-do. Only God gives you that power, but He wants to, and He will. He's working in you. You're simply saying, now work through me. I'm available for you to do that. So it's God to show you what, how, who, when, where, how, and everything else. Our part is say, do it, God. And then to obey. To obey. to make it more of a priority. Let's pray.
Father, you do know each heart of each one who's come down front. You've spoken to them about this area of what you want to do, not just in us, but through us. You spoke to them about, and again, it might be some embers that need fanned into a fire. So be it, Lord. We know you do that by reminding us of your love, your work, your grace in our lives, the Holy Spirit touching us and working and then through us, Lord. So fan into a fire any that need that, Lord. If there's a specific area you're speaking to someone about, so be it, Lord. When you call, you empower, you enable. It is about our availability, not abilities. And so remind each person of that, Lord. Again, there's so many reasons that might bring people down front, but you know each one. But Lord, they're choosing to act upon it, to not just be a hearer, but now be a doer. I pray that today and every day we'll find them, and really all of it here, Lord, available, doing, letting you work through us, because there's a world around us that needs to see you, know you, experience you. And in particular, Lord, our brothers and sisters, you choose to use us. We are your arms. We represent you to them, Lord. We're there to help meet a need. Help us to always ask, Lord, why are you showing me this? What does you want to do in me and through me in this? Lord, whatever it represents, coming down front, speak now, work now, empower, have your way, Lord. And let this be the beginning of an increased zealousness, of being careful to maintain us, an example, a pattern of those good works that you desire to do. And truly, may you get all the glory through it all. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand as we get ready to wrap up our time together. If you're in need of prayer this morning for something specific, you can go to the prayer room. There'll be prayer partners there. Those who came forward were not receiving Christ as Savior. They were responding because they already belonged to Him. If you've never received Jesus, let a prayer partner know that and come receive Christ. And those who have, if you believe God, be careful to maintain good works. Father, you couldn't say it any more clearly than you have. Lord, our cry, the cry of our hearts is, don't let it stop at us. Forgive us, Lord, if we've been so much about us and not about you, not about your things. We think more about our needs and the urgent needs of others, particularly our brothers and sisters. Father, forgive us for too often saying, hope somebody else does it, or we send them somewhere instead of us being that answer. Lord, forgive us for that and help us now to be vessels fit for your use, available for your use. And as you do, Lord, may it all point to how very awesome you are. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.